So we're doing the short one and the EP.
Welcome to Crappy Friends.
She does it on purpose.
The podcast.
She does it just to trip you up.
It's
that
so
discusses female friendships.
I will not miss this part.
The good, the bad.
Ever.
The ugly.
Whatever.
Power defeating victory.
Thank you.
Since 2018.
Thank you.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins, and I'm bestselling author Joss Day. Yes. And we're best friends.
Yes, yes.
If
yes.
The princess can do it, you have no excuse.
I have all excuses. She's
and
younger.
She did it with nothing in front of her.
I messed up, though. I've got her USA Today.
Right. Still did better than she ever did.
She can see more. She can read better without glasses. There's so many things going on.
You have a point. You have a point. All right, so Joss is not going to miss scrambling to remember the same thing she said in every episode for 6 years.
Look, this is one of my personal glitches, and it doesn't just happen here. It happens, like, at work, too.
Yeah.
So tasks that I've done repeatedly, I like having the instructions right next to me.
Yes, yes.
It's just my glitch.
That is the joy of Zoom meetings. You can put all the stickies on your screen so you remember what to say. All right, we have a brief letter this week, and why don't you go ahead and read it for us, Joss?
I shall. I recently discovered your podcast and have been thoroughly enjoying it.
Thank you.
However, I find myself facing some challenges within my social circle and questioning whether I may be contributing negatively to the dynamic. Our group, comprised of individuals in our late 30s who have been friends since high school, seems to have developed intricate dynamics over time. While half of the group shares similar career paths and have worked together since college, a few of us have taken different professional trajectories. Despite our long history, some of us have felt excluded from group plans, particularly after noticing social media posts depicting gatherings. I know. We were not included in. This sense of exclusion has been compounded by a lack of communication and engagement from certain members, leading to feelings of sadness and inadequacy. Despite being included in milestone events like weddings and baby showers, the underlying atmosphere of toxicity and gossip has left me feeling emotionally drained and undervalued for years. After a recent incident where plans were made without any mention to me or other excluded individuals, I felt compelled to take action. Blocking them from my social media accounts and phone contacts was a difficult decision, but one I felt necessary to protect my emotional well-being. As a non-confrontational individual, I struggled to trust that expressing my feelings would be met with understanding or consideration. While I empathize with the busy lives of those in the group, I cannot ignore the persistent pattern of exclusion and disregard for my feelings. The emotions stirred by these experiences have led me to question the sincerity of our friendships and whether they truly value my presence. Amidst feelings of guilt and uncertainty, I am inclined to believe that prioritizing my mental health and surrounding myself with individuals who genuinely appreciate and respect me is paramount. However, I grapple with the notion that my actions may be perceived as overly sensitive or unjustified. Thank you for providing a platform to share my concerns. Any insight or guidance you can offer would be greatly appreciated. Doormat or just crazy friend?
Let's call her crazy friend.
Yeah.
It has a little more panache than doormat. Yeah.
Zing.
You know, I really think this just is very simple. If you're not happy in the friendship, you don't have to be a part of it.
I mean,
out of the mouths of babes.
Done and done.
Right? Yeah. I had several different opposing takes on this letter. One was that you're being very immature. Not everyone in the friend group has to like everyone else as much. This is not kindergarten where the whole class is invited to the birthday party.
Yeah.
People are allowed to be closer with other people. You don't have to get invited to every little thing.
No one is required to invite you to everything.
Yeah.
That's the simple fact of it.
And, you know, you say that you're invited to the big events, the milestone events.
Yeah, great.
And, you know, you mentioned toxicity and gossip, but we didn't get an example of that. You just kind of said, like, these people are doing stuff without me and others, and those people are...
Seems so, like there's like an inner circle within this friendship, and
yeah,
that's, I mean, it is hurtful, you know.
It is,
but it is natural. I
think. Right. You know, if you take a group of women, so let's say there's 10 of you, and 5 of you work in the medical field and 5 of you do something else.
Yeah.
The medical field people have more in common.
That's the simple truth.
There you go.
Yeah.
Or they were closer then, or they each have 3 children. You know, whatever it is, you shouldn't view it as your inadequacy and them judging you.
Yeah.
And I felt like your letter was very kind of passive aggressive there.
Yes. Also the blocking on social media and the phone contacts for, I'm sure these people have no idea why they've been blocked. Yeah.
Or no idea that they've been blocked.
Or that they've been blocked at all.
I mean, if that's how you need to express your anger by blocking, that is a very passive way to.
And people are allowed to have fun without you and allowed to put pictures on social media with the fun that they've had without you.
Right. And they're not required to comment on your every post, and their lack of commenting is not indicative of their hatred of you.
Yes.
Maybe they saw it. Maybe they didn't. I mean, we've had to have this discussion with a mutual friend about the, you know, the algorithm of Facebook. And, you know, if you go on twice a week, you might not see her post from last Monday.
I never see them.
And
I have to actually go look.
Yeah. So that was my one take, that you're being kind of passive here, that you're angry that you're not in the inner circle or better friends with some people. And I, as the princess said, I get it. I've felt that way myself.
So have I. I think we all.
Yeah, it's a human experience. But also, you know, you have this opportunity to make other friends, not within the circle of the other excludees.
Yeah.
Make your own plans. Yeah. You know, the people that you click with better doesn't always have to be the 10 of you.
Yeah.
And also other friends. You know, you're in your late 30s, and the high school was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you guys are outgrowing each other a little
bit. Now, the other take that I had on it was was taking you at your word. These are horrible women, toxic, gossiping, cruel. Mm-hmm. And in that case, crappy friends can mess with your mental health, and you did the right thing in taking a break. You don't have to justify it to anyone. If your actions have made you feel better, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you could have done it a little less abruptly than blocking people. Maybe you could have said like, hey, I'm going to take a break from social media for a bit. Hope everyone's doing well. Take care. And you can still do that if you want to unblock them and just sort of say that rather than ghost them, which I find supremely immature.
It is.
And, you know, you say that you're concerned that your actions might be perceived as overly sensitive or unjustified. That sentence makes me think that you think you're being overly sensitive and your actions were unjustified. You know, that came from you. Nobody said that to you, to the best of my knowledge, reading your letter. You grapple with the notion that my actions may be perceived as overly sensitive or unjustified. So I think maybe you're telling yourself that maybe you are overreacting a little bit.
And you know that saying that's like, nobody thinks about you as much as you think about you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I think that's probably something to consider.
Yeah, you know, everybody in your group has lives and jobs and homes and partners and gardens and dogs. So I think maybe you want to take a beat and think about that. If you have people close to you who are really trusted friends, maybe you could run it past them and say, do you think that I'm like super sensitive when it comes to being included and things? And, you know, that's my own Achilles heel. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, like it for a long time, if friends got together without me or family members all went somewhere after the wedding and didn't include me, I'd be like, oh, how come I didn't get invited? You know?
The opposite.
I got over that. Yeah. And, you know, like, we'll see. So my reaction was, you know what? I think I'll invite people to do something. You know, if I want to do something after the wedding, then I'll say, like, why don't we go out after the wedding?
Yeah.
That was my response. These two co-hosts of mine are like, yay, we didn't get invited.
They're
yeah.
like, actually, no, I'm not going
to. We get to go home.
No,
we get to get into our pajamas.
When people cancel on me, I get to lay on my couch and watch Netflix.
Everyone's different.
I would caution you, crazy friend, about using social media as an indicator of what your friendships are.
Mm,
you are supposed to be friends with these people, and social media is a big old lie. Because people only put the good stuff on, right?
Right, of course. We all know that.
So if you want to know how these people feel about you, you should be in their presence more, talk with them on the phone more, use that as your indicator about what kind of friend they are to you and what kind of friend you can be to them.
And perhaps, like, you know, one of these people that you think is toxic or gossipy, maybe you say, like, hey, do you want to have lunch sometime?
Yeah.
Get to know her a little better.
Yeah.
One-on-one.
Yeah.
Take out the social media interactions, take out the group dynamics, and then judge for yourself.
It's an atmosphere of toxicity and gossip, and we haven't seen the examples of the toxicity or the gossip. Yeah. So are you just getting a sense of that from, you know, what you're missing on social media and what's going on in the thread below? Or is that really happening?
Right. And by toxic, we mean, like, you know, people being cruel or gaslighting you, lying, you know, more than just they got together to go to lunch without the other four of us.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's not toxic.
No.
But, you know, if they're really unkind people, then why are you hanging out with them?
Yes, that's true. That
I think
is.
You've said this in other episodes, too, about group dynamics of why not just try to make friends with a few, like, make closer friends with a few people within the group who are also being excluded or something. If you want to stay in this friend group, which it doesn't really seem like you do, why not foster some closer bonds with several individuals within the group instead of constantly being like, I'm being excluded.
I think that you actually really do want to be in the group, crazy friend. Mm. And that's why you're so hurt. Mm. Because you feel like you're not as in as other people in the group. So you could do what the princess suggests and focus on the individual relationships. Or you can, you know, throw the babies out with the bathwater and just say, I'm done with you people.
Yeah, but this is going to happen for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's always going to be an in-group somewhere that you're not a part of. And you've got to be able to navigate that with some grace.
Right.
And, like, being outside of yourself. Because particularly in a professional atmosphere, 9 times out of 10, it has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind, that it couldn't have anything to do with
you. Is that your wine delivery, Joss?
No, that's the mailman.
Oh, Drat.
That's the mailman. I know, Drat. No, I'm doing what I've been told is called a damp
February. Oh, damp. I like that.
Damp February?
Based off of dry January.
Oh, instead of dry January. Okay.
So it's dry-ish. I'll drink socially, but not in my own house.
And that's
sorry.
Great.
Yeah.
I will say, you know, to Joss's point, even when you're in the in-group, there's an inner group that's better than your in-group, you know.
There's always going to be something.
If you're always going to be looking at that and measuring, then you're going to miss out on the people around you.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
No one is obligated to invite you anywhere. Mm-hmm. You're not obligated to go to every party. Just keep that in mind when you're seeing these pictures, these images of your friends having a great time at lunch or brunch or whatever.
They get to do that.
They get to do it without you. Maybe they'll invite you the next time. Maybe you're only one of the friends they want at the big thing. They love having you at the big thing. And that's okay too.
Yeah.
That is all.
Isn't
okay.
It nice that you got invited to the big thing?
Yeah.
Look, enjoy that.
Yeah.
Don't be, you know, counting the broken eggs, right?
Yeah.
Maybe just keep social media blocked because it seems like it really bothers you, but unblock their numbers so that you can still keep getting invited to things and participating in the group text, but you don't have to see all the pictures online that bother you so much.
And say, you know, I had to take a little break, you know, just gonna clear my head a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
How's everyone doing?
Mm-hmm.
How lovely is that?
Why don't you reach out and you make some plans?
Also, don't participate in the gossip. I would say if there's gossip happening, let them deal with the gossip. You stay outside of the gossip. That's just my best advice
for
you.
What was your phrase? Grace and poise.
Grace and poise. But when you invest in the gossip about who's doing what with who and this and that and that, it tends to devalue everything that's happening already, and you're attaching a kind of, I don't know, atmosphere or environment to it that it may not really have.
Right.
So just avoid that.
And if you're stewing because people are gossiping, that's immature as well. That's also passive aggressive. Say, you know, I'm not comfortable talking about Joss when she's not here.
Right.
I mean, we all love her, right? So let's not
Just step outside. Just remove yourself from that.
It's like so when you better. When someone makes a racist joke.
Yeah.
Deal with it at the moment.
Or, you know, you have a friend who's about another friend in the group. Just remove yourself from that.
Yeah.
That whole situation.
Yeah, if everyone is having a feeding frenzy and having a wonderful time gossiping.
Yeah.
Well, you can just say, oh, gotta go. Yep. I'm removing myself from the chat.
Yeah. Just be on the outside of that. It's so much easier when you don't know those things.
Yeah.
Particularly if you have friends who talk about other friends and you know each one of them, and you're like, shit, well, what is this one saying about me if she's saying this about the other? It's best to like take yourself right outside of that.
Yeah, but I think you should really take a hard look and see if this is about your hurt feelings or if this is about actually bad people, and make your decisions from there.
Yeah.
And we wish you the best. Mm. Jess? I have an embarrassing personal problem.
Yes, please.
Princess, what do you think? You have young eyes. Do you want...
She does. Her eyes are younger than mine.
Why don't you give it a read?
Dear ladies, thank you so much for years of the Crappy Friends podcast. I have no question, but instead offer you an embarrassing personal problem. Many years ago, I was driving to an appointment with a counselor when I felt a rumbling down below.
Uh-oh.
I knew immediately that I had to have an emergency evacuation before I could get into the counselor's office. Although his small office has a bathroom off of the waiting room, the door to this bathroom would only offer an illusion of privacy, and I would be sharing the sounds and smells of what was brewing in my belly with everyone. Fortunately, the area where I live in New Jersey has an abundance of public parks equipped with flush toilets, and there was just such a park on the way. As I was sitting down in the stall, my eye was drawn to an almost empty roll of toilet paper sitting vertically on a small shelf to my left. What happened next has stuck with me for almost 20 years. With the lithe grace of a burlesque dancer emerging from a gigantic birthday cake, a long, translucent spider arm... reached out of that roll of toilet paper and landed just beyond the midpoint of the roll. I couldn't tell you what kind of spider it was because I didn't wait to see the rest of it. Pants and panties around my ankle, crabbed walk out of that stall and backed my way into another several doors down.
Oh no!
That's bold.
That really is.
The spider did not follow me. To this day, I'm grateful that no one else was in that bathroom, that I didn't end up getting arrested for indecent exposure. Thank you again for your entertaining and enlightening podcast. Listening to your advice has made me cherish and nurture the friendships I'm lucky to have. Warm regards, still wary of spiders.
As well she should be. I would be as well. I'd be terrified.
The most beautiful sentence.
No,
the grace of a burlesque dancer.
I tell you, I was like, as you were reading this, I think, this is an author.
Yeah.
Right? This is an author friend of ours or something, you know?
But I could picture it.
I could just like, you know, and then the crab walking down the stalls.
Yeah.
I just want to say, like, no one was there to see you that you know of.
Yes.
Yes.
Just add that to that horrifying scenario. And thank you so much for sending that in. Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, check out our book, Crappy Friends, The Ultimate Guide to Female Friendship.
Send your friendship letters to the ladies at crappyfriends.net.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends.
Forever. Forever.